There goes Lance in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this gets pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans? And welcome back to another edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. I am your host, Ross Uglum, the publisher of that very site. And we are here to break down the NDSU-SDSU game. In interesting times, this is the first time since 2010 that North Dakota State will not be Missouri Valley Football Conference champions, will not share a part of that prize, part of that honor. Had a tweet the other day about just what exactly that means as far as what was going on in the world in 2010. It's pretty crazy. And to help me sift through the craziness here is South Dakota native Trevor Gebhardt. How we doing, buddy?
Doing pretty decent, Ross, considering how this game played out. There's still a lot of positives to look at, not necessarily with this game per se, but it is a new season. The playoffs are upon us, and at the end of the day, you got to win four. So that's what matters at this point moving forward. There are some things we will break down, but again, to go on a positive note, I'm in a wedding in a couple weeks, and I was at a friend's bachelor party in Wilmington golfing while this game was going on. I did listen to it so I could tell what was happening, and the feeling was the exact same, basically listening to the audio version as I'm sure it was watching it from a flow standpoint and how it was going to play out. But, tough to see, especially because this was really the conference championship streak was really the last thing that was tied to my playing career. So from a personal standpoint, that does kind of hurt, especially when it ends this way. But at the end of the day, you have to give credit where credit is due. And South Dakota State right now is a better football team. And there's a reason they're the number one seed. And they basically North Dakota State. So let's get into it.
Yeah, they did. And that was the number one thing. I guess there's something too that I have to apparently address. You may or may not have seen this, but South Dakota State linebacker Logan Backus posted on his Instagram a graphic, which misquoted me, but ultimately said something that I guess I did say in a Twitter reply, where I just thought they wouldn't be as good. I didn't think they'd beat NDSU. The only thing is, this Twitter reply was from February 14th, 2020, talking about the losses that South Dakota State would take roster-wise, and it had something to do with like their record. I felt like they'd lose in Fargo and lose to Nebraska just because they were going to be missing guys. Now, obviously, you know, you go back to February 2nd, 2020, it's a very different world. That's a
it's a pre-COVID, a little bit different.
It's a pre-COVID world, and I don't have to remind Bison fans that a theoretical matchup between North Dakota State and South Dakota State, talking in February 2020, would have featured Dylan Radins, Phoenix Sproles, a guy by the name of Trey Lance. At that point, I thought it would also feature Jabril Cox. Turns out that wasn't true. Would have featured Carson Schoening, would have featured, I mean, just a million guys. Like, I would argue, I would still put North Dakota State with all those guys on the roster in a game played in October in Fargo. I would make NDSU 10 to 13 point favorites. Now, that doesn't matter. It's not the life we live in. But I spent most of the last week and our preview pod saying there's absolutely a way for South Dakota State to win this game. And like I said, I just felt like I needed to address it because it's all over his Instagram, this thing that I said 14 months ago. And, you know, as far as what I said about him not being very good, like, look, he's fine. Looking at Pro Football Focus's grades for this 2020 season right now, their college product, Backhouse ranks behind Tetzloff and Bach, and he's their seventh best defensive player. And everyone said, you know, everyone thinks, and I'm not, this isn't the gospel, but it's unbiased. It's just guys grading the film. And they rank him as the worst starting linebacker that they have and their seventh best guy on defense. There's only 11 guys on defense. You know, there's a rotation or whatever. But I, like I said, just I thought he was a fine player and not someone that was going to lead their defense. I didn't know Pretzen Tesloff was going to come and replace Christian Roseboom and basically, in my opinion, be a first or a second team All-American. I didn't know Adam Bach was, you know, as a redshirt freshman, going to be that good either. And those developments are why we gave South Dakota State a chance to win this game. But anyway, that's it, Trev. I just something.
No, that's fair. Like it's, I appreciate the competitiveness from him because as any good competitor knows, you're going to find ways. Some guys do it internally. Some guys do it externally. There's a bunch of different theories on all that, but at the end of the day, he's a competitor trying to find a way to win and give himself an advantage. And that's probably what he used, which is fine. But yeah, everything has context and definitely a different world. I didn't see any of that. I didn't see any of the Instagram posts.
Check the young man's Instagram out, Logan Backhouse. He is not thrilled with me, but like I said, it's something that I said just about 15 months ago now. And I don't know who in the world made a graphic. I really don't even understand how this whole thing got started. But
I had family members tweet at me saying stuff that. I just let it go because there's a lot I could say to respond. That's like, I get it.
Look,
but I'll still give credit where credit's due. That's where, you know, we make predictions and whatever. Basically, the opposite of what we predicted happened. Yeah. And we'll give credit where credit's due. That's what happened. Until we're proven wrong, we have no reason than otherwise go what we have seen for a decade. So it has nothing to do with this completely biased lens. Yeah, there's a fanhood to it, but until you're shown otherwise, what reason have you been given to predict otherwise? And this was the first time you've truly seen it between the two programs.
I was going to say, I've accurately predicted this game about 12 times. Nobody said it. Nobody said anything there. But yeah, I mean, like I said, that was just something that I felt like I needed to address. Cade Johnson, too. He's no longer there, but he was all over me about, you know, apologize to this kid, do that, you know, do this, do that. He was in my DMs. Kid's got to find something better to do with his time, to be honest, but just felt like that needed to be addressed because it was apparently some sort of rallying cry. And it was just a very offhanded comment that I made. And again, on multiple occasions last week, Twitter, here, whatever, said that this one could go either way. I don't think that would have been the case in the fall, but the fall doesn't exist. The fall is a pretend thing that we were all robbed of. South Dakota State too. I'm sure Cade Johnson would have been on South Dakota State and they probably would have had a slightly better roster than they do in the fall as well. This is, you know, just a strange season, and you can tell it's strange by the three programs that are at the top: South Dakota State, Missouri State, and North Dakota. I mean, that makes, from a Valley perspective, it makes very, very, very little sense. But anyway, just wanted to kind of get that out of the way. And fully agree with you too. I think that's important. North Dakota State got their ass kicked. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't stop the run. That looked like so many Bison victories of the past over SDSU. That was, obviously the scoreboard wasn't terrible, you know, 17-17 going into the fourth quarter, North Dakota State with the ball in their hand, chance to win with, I don't know, 3-4 minutes left, wherever it was. You got to be proud of that if you're a Bison fan. I mean, this is a team of kids, basically. And that's not an excuse. It's just the reality of the situation. It's a team of kids that were able to fight with this South Dakota State team that late into the game. But ultimately, they got their asses kicked. And it looked like what normally North Dakota State beating up on South Dakota State looks like. Inability to stop the run.
So, and again, I couldn't even see the game, but I could tell the flow by listening to it between piping bombs down the middle of the fairway.
Yeah.
No one can challenge me on that because they weren't there. So you got to take my word for it. But this is really the first time that I've seen since James Madison in 2016 that they got beat. A lot of the other losses, or pretty much all the other losses, I would chalk it up to any given Saturday. The other losses in between James Madison and now, I would say, okay, play a series of seven games, which is impossible in football. And again, it's hypothetical. But if you do that, NDSU is probably going to win that race to four wins. So this, though, just like in James Madison in 2016, they got punched in the mouth harder than they punched the other team in the mouth. And there's no arguing that. And what's interesting, too, is I think the margin of victory and the score might even be the exact same. I think that James Madison game was a 10-point. Was that 26-16 or was that 27-16?
Yes, I think I remember
it doesn't really matter.
Sure. It was also interesting, too, because I think there was a similar moment in the James Madison game. Like Robbie Grimsley had a pick or something, and NDSU got the ball late with a chance to tie, or the game was tied or something like that, and failed in the fourth quarter in a way that, you know, was unfamiliar to fans. As I think this was, I mean, you go back into NDSU, SDSU history, and what's the expectation? Well, it's actually the same exact score, Trev, 27-17. And you go back into NDSU, SDSU history, that's your expectation, is the comeback, if you will, the glorious fourth quarter, whatever, that has defined, you know, this entire rivalry, has defined basically every big moment. Like I mentioned, 10-6 against the Rabbits, in now 10-7 against the Rabbits in the marker. But in playoff games / ESPN College game day games, 5-0. In the big moments, NDSU has come on top. And that's the other thing about this. I mean, folks, make no mistake about it. And I'm not trying to condescend here, but it's going to sound a little condescending. That was the biggest win in South Dakota State history. To capture a Valley Championship in Fargo. There's a reason those kids were on the logo with the horns down, posing with the rock. To beat NDSU in Fargo, to win the Valley and the number one seed. Yeah, they have playoff wins. You know, but only so much as the quarterfinals. They've never won a semifinal game because they've never been to Frisco. That was the biggest win in South Dakota State football history. And that is why those emotions were the way they were.
Well, that to them, I'm sure, was almost like a "we finally beat our bigger brother" moment. And it truly was, like you said. It really was. Because you go back to the back-to-back marker wins that they had in 16 and 17. 16 was the
push off Christian. Yeah.
And not only that, but we're not going to run our running quarterback for 5 weeks before this game and bring it out for something that you've never seen before this game. So a little bit of like some wonkiness there. And then the other one, the following year, was NDSU shot themselves in the foot with however many turnovers.
Yeah, turned the ball over constantly.
Still had chances to win the game, and they really beat themselves. That's not to just take credit away from it. I'm just explaining it in a different light in terms of how big and significant this win is for that program. So it's yours for the taking now. Like,
yeah,
for them not to make it to Frisco or even win it at this point now,
massive disappointment.
Absolutely, because I would venture to bet that the betting lines would sway in their favor.
Yeah, it's not a situation like if you give me the field or South Dakota State, I'll take the field.
Right.
It's not like an NDSU thing in the past, but
right. But if you take it on an individual game by game basis,
yeah,
solely, you know what I mean? Like yep. They're going to be favored in every single game that they every play, game. Unless barring, you know, knock on wood, an injury. You don't like we don't need that. Like it should be the best players on the field and win it outright. But so I'll be curious to see what they do with that now the monkey's on your back. Like, this is your playoff now. You're the one seed. You've earned it. And the ball's in your court. What are you going to do with it?
And that's a great point. I mean, like you said, there were – plus, I mean, that 16 win by South Dakota State just got erased by the ass-kicking they took in the playoffs. So
I completely forgot about that. Yeah, that's true. But again, it goes to show you because of – they had a completely different game plan for 5 weeks.
Right.
That wasn't by accident. I don't care who spins it. That was not by accident.
But that's all I'm saying is you win on October 15th, you win 19-17. Like I said, on a push off in the back of the end zone. And the only reason I keep saying that is because I was on the field for that game. I was taking photos and that happened like 8 feet away from me. And it was a push off. All day long, it was a push off.
It might have been. It might have been. I'm going to play devil's advocate. It's hard. It's really, 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 really hard to do that, to make a penalty call to define a game.
Oh,
that
yeah, for like, sure.
You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. No, and you can't.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with, okay, here's the correct call on the field.
Yeah.
It's so hard to justify making that. You know what I mean?
You could. I mean, obviously you can do it, or you could have done it in the Fargo Dome. You know, they would have been like, yeah, right call. You know, but you're right. I mean, it was a one-hand extension. It wasn't a two-handed shove. Wenicke's an All-American. You expect him to make that play. Like, I 100% get how there was no way they could make that call. But, like I said, you win 19-17 on a last-second play, and then you come 8 weeks later, 7 weeks later, and you lose 36-10, people forget about your 19-17 win really, really fast. And then in 17, you know, North Dakota State wins the championship. So again, it's like, cool, you won at home. Congratulations. Okay, you also had a 6-turnover game against James Madison in that playoff. And that's all anybody's going to remember. Like, congrats on the Rock. That's really cool. But you guys turned it over 6 times and didn't go to the championship, which NDSU won. Could happen again. Shoot, you look at this bracket, it could be NDSU, SDSU, and NDSU could win. A lot of things would have to change between now and then. But it could happen again. But right now I would say it's not likely. And as you mentioned, I mean, this is, they've earned it, because what I really think the difference is, and again, I will, because they won't, I will make the excuses for them. And I think they're valid, and I know it's a no excuse program and, you know, whatever, but the reality of who they lost and what they came in, you know, I got asked after the game, well, aren't they recruiting? You know, it's like, okay, that's fine. And they're honestly winning specifically against South Dakota State. They're still winning more recruiting battles than they're losing. But you're not supposed to beat, even with great recruits, 19-year-olds are not supposed to beat 22-year-old men. It's just not how it generally works. And this program expected Trey Lance, Adam Cofield, Dylan Radins, Jabril Cox, Josh Hayes, Aaron Mercadal, Carson Schoening, Phoenix Sproles, Seth Wilson, Zach Mathis, Kobe Johnson to be a part of this game, to be a part of this season. Some of them are, some of them aren't. I mean, some of that's based on injuries, but a lot of that too is just flat out based on COVID-19. And by the time March rolled around, they knew Jabril wasn't going to be a part of things, and that's fine. They you know, probably we would be fine. But this is the Bison. This is what you have. None of those guys, legally, most of them can't come through the door, but none of those guys are walking back through that door. And you nailed it, Trevor. You said it exactly right. South Dakota State was the better team. After watching that game on a neutral field, I would pick South Dakota State to win 7 or 8 times.
I absolutely would. No different than after James Madison.
Right.
1-16. You walk out of that game going, oh, wow. Like, if they're going to lose to somebody, I'm glad it's them. I don't want it to be a fluke. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And in 2016, I would have said after that game, I would have said, let's play another 60, and I bet you anything NDSU wins. The second that game ended. Same thing in 2017. I said, NDSU couldn't have played any worse. Roll the helmets out again. Let's fire it up again. Right now, that SDSU team that we just saw and this NDSU team, what they have to work with right now, neutral field, I would take SDSU 7 or 8 times out of 10. And that is a scary proposition for Bison fans. And it is a situation where I totally agree with you in that there should be major pride in Brookings. You beat a diminished NDSU team, you know, but you were the better team for 60 minutes. And that's, I think, where you nailed it with the little brother finally knocks out big brother or beats him in one-on-one, if you want to go with a less violent analogy.
So when I look at this playoff field, obviously two teams have already done it. Good on good with Cam starting, by the way. I think there's probably 3 teams that would beat NDSU. So South Dakota State being one of them and doing that in any given year. I don't care if it's the best dynasty in FCS football or preseason number one. Doesn't matter. When you do that, that's important. That's big. So, yeah, something to hang your hat on, because that was finally done. It was finally accomplished. So what happens from here on out? I don't really know. That's why you play the games, and that's the beauty of FCS, is we get to have a playoff to find out. Yep. And in order for NDSU to win this, like we have said over and over and over again, especially after the SIU game when our eyes were open to a different Bison team, quarterback play has to improve. And I am praying Cam gets the nod and he gets significantly improved every week, because that is, in my opinion, going to be their one shot at winning this thing.
And I tell you what, with Cam, I don't really put a whole lot of this. I mean, that pick was, I hardly even count that as a pick. You know, you talk just game script, game situation, desperation, 4th and 14 or whatever. Like, I don't know, whatever. That's, to me, that's not really a pick. He was great, I thought. 9 of 16, 149 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, made really good decisions in the red zone. But folks, NDSU's not going to win any football games giving up 6.6 a carry and running for 2.6. I don't care if Trey's the quarterback. I don't care if Carson comes back for a game. If you're giving up 6.6, and I'd be interested to see the PFF college numbers on how many missed, because I won't do it, and the coaching staff would never release it, which I totally get. But I'm interested to see the missed tackle numbers, not necessarily individual players and, you know, putting that on them, whatever. That's not really the point. But the total number, I would be very interested to see. South Dakota State got guys on the ground. North Dakota State did not. And that was something that you and I stressed heading into this game, was you have to get guys on the ground. They didn't get Gronowski on the ground. They didn't get Strong on the ground. And frankly, they didn't do that great a job of getting Isaiah Davis on the ground either. I don't know. I'm not willing to just say, you know, that it's because they're smaller. But that has been my concern all season with basically, if we're being honest, an undersized Mike and two safeties as your linebacking core. And I get it. Look, I know how big Travis Beck was. I don't need to hear that. I know how big Carlton Littlejohn was. Grant Olsen, honestly, wasn't even that big either. But from a where they played in high school and a body type perspective, right now they're playing a small Mike and two safeties at linebacker. And I don't know if that's why they're missing tackles. Plenty of safeties make tackles. I don't know if that's why they gave up 6.6 carry. I think a lot of it's on the defensive line too. And that a great game plan by the South Dakota State, their offensive staff, that pistol and the angles that it created, there were a lot of yards before contact. There were a lot of schemed yards, if you will, before a Bison even got a shot at bringing down a Jackrabbit. But I'll just say it one more time. There, if Hunter Lupke is going to carry it 14 times for 44 yards, you're in trouble. If Cam Miller is going to carry it 15 times well, it's a net because he lost 14 yards. So if Cam Miller is going to carry it 15 times for 38 yards, you're in trouble. Christian Watson carrying it for 3 yards a carry, you're in trouble. It honestly, as sad as it sounds, this game, if you just look at the box score standpoint, is a lot worse than 27-17. Just from a productivity per play standpoint, it could have been uglier.
Listening to the game, I thought it was way worse. I remember texting a bunch of guys at halftime, and I said, I don't think this one's coming out with the W. And that was just listening to it.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm glad I didn't get to see the missed tackles or the big holes like we talked about through some text exchanges. So, there's a lot that has to get fixed. And even going into like Eastern Washington matchup, you're playing a team that's not used to playing physical. You get caught up in their type of style of play, you might be in trouble. So they're going to have to control the ground game and the time of possession to keep that offense off the field, because they're going to get theirs. They get paid too. So that's where that stands. And honestly, when you look at it, I feel like this game, and I thought it was going to be Southern Illinois that did it. I think this was the heartbreaker game for this group. I think this was the game that gets these guys to go, okay, we're in. That doesn't mean they're just going to take themselves and propel themselves through the playoffs. But similarly to how Eastern Washington was in 2010 with a really young group of guys, it lit a fire under you that said, okay, we know we're capable of something. This one really, really, really hurt. Now, granted, NDSU actually played well in Cheney as opposed to in Fargo this last weekend. Played well in Cheney in 2010 as opposed to Fargo on Saturday. But my hope is that this game for this young group is such a heartbreaking moment for them that they say they vow that to never have that happen again. And that's what happened in 2010. We just vowed to never have that happen again. Because it was that painful. So I hope this hurts for them. I really do. Southern Illinois, it was more of like, hey, you guys got a wake-up call. You don't just show up. And I think they've done that. I think they realized that. I don't think that was the case. I don't think there was an effort concern here. It was pure talent between the two teams. They're a better team. They were more physical. They deserve to win more than you did. And they pushed you around a bit, and it showed in the fourth quarter. Really throughout the game, but as far as the box score, it showed in the fourth quarter. So I hope we reference this point, this pod, and this game and this week in a year or two and say that was the moment they were heartbroken and decided to change. And I'm going to reference. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I mean, and it isn't going to take a lot. I would guess that people standing on your logo wearing those colors, throwing the horns down and holding the rock, being as disrespectful as they possibly can. And that's fine. I mean, I don't remember. Well, you and I did the podcast from the logo last time. So it was, you're not necessarily standing on the logo disrespecting it, but we were at midfield. No one was standing on the Jackrabbit logo taking pictures, but it's common practice for NDSU to take pictures on the field with the rock after the win. So that's not necessarily, and I'm not even upset. It's a rivalry. Be disrespectful. Be whatever. Like, I don't, whatever. There are plenty
of rivalries. Yeah, that's what makes rivalries.
And there are plenty of Bison fans that are worried about the SDSU players not being classy, worried about the coach that punched the hole in the window, which is just absolutely incredible. And I mean, I get that a little bit, but whatever. Do your thing. What I'm saying is, for those young men in the locker room to see little brother in those colors throwing the horns down, standing on your logo, being that disrespectful, it is not going to take much for that to be a rallying cry. And there are young players, and I feel for Gray Zabel because he's from South Dakota and it looks like he got hurt pretty badly and wasn't able to finish that game. But my God, you think about what has been burned in the memory of Cam Miller, who will be there for a long time. Dom Ganella, who will be there for a long time. Braylon Henderson, who will be there for a long time. Jake Lippi, who will be there for a long time. Courtney Eubanks, who will potentially be there for four more years. They fought in this game and lost, and then were disrespected in a huge way. And I just, like you said, you talk about this as being a moment where they move forward. It's not going to be too hard, because that stuff, I think, is just going to be burned into their memory and into their lexicon, and honestly, into their locker room potentially.
Well, it's a phenomenal rivalry, and I already know that that's going to be the case. So. But what do you do with it? No different than us saying, okay, hey, South Dakota State, you have the one seed. This playoffs is now in your hands. You are the best team. You have proven that and earned that. Now what do you do with it? The other side of the token, a bunch of young cats that just experienced something that is probably pretty painful, that are still very talented and are still very capable. What do you do with it? So I'll be curious to see. I'm honestly just very curious to see how they respond. They don't have to go. They don't have to go win a national championship to go just make us proud and everything's great. That would be phenomenal. And obviously I want nothing more than that, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that per se. That's the expectation. But even if that doesn't happen, hypothetically, what are you going to do with that? And I'm going to tell you a quick story here, because sometimes that happens. It was my junior year in high school. And it was the last regular season game. And we beat the living breaks off of an inner city rival. Absolute beat the tar out of them. Actually, no, I'm sorry. We beat them earlier in the year. A little bit different. We beat them earlier in the year. I don't even know how much we won by, but it was a lot. And it was embarrassing. Their last regular season game, that same team, they lost to another inner city team and got beat by even more. I think they lost by like 40. We ended up playing that team in the state championship game because they got hot. And probably the same type of thing. They probably said, okay, you know what? I'm done with this. I never want to lose that way again and feel that way again. They got hot and they won their four, and they ended up winning their state championship. And the other side of the token, our group, it was a team we had beaten before and absolutely beat the brakes off of. You're a little bit confident. And sometimes it's hard to beat the same team twice in a season. So that's just a very, very small example. But that is something that I have seen before personally, where a team that got absolute ran out of the gym in their last regular season game found a way to turn around and win four. And beat a team on top of that they already got smoked by before. So It is possible. Anything's possible. That's why you play the games any given Saturday. Like you said earlier in the pod at the very beginning, a lot does have to change. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited for it. At the end of the day, it's the FCS playoffs. We're very spoiled that we get to have this. I hope that it continues and that the playoffs go back to 24 in the fall, which I, do you know if that's been announced?
I don't know if it has been announced, but I would just really be surprised if they didn't.
Expand?
Yeah. I think everybody is really wanting normalcy, and that's normalcy, and it is a format that everybody has kind of agreed to and is fine with, you know? So I don't know as though they would go to 16 permanently.
I was more so asking because I had no idea. Like, it's one of those things. It's like, okay, we switched it for the time being for obvious reasons. Is it going back in the fall? So anyway, but let the chips fall where they may. And that's the beauty of this team having a game like this to go into the playoffs with. It's just a matter of what you do with it now. Are you going to let a same team beat you twice? Because if you do, you'll get bounced in the first round by Eastern Washington. Now, South Dakota State is not going to lose to Holy Cross, but you don't want to try to beat the same team twice either. So on their side, they have to move on from a highly emotional win and take care of business. And I hope to see this game again in Frisco with an improved NDSU team, a better tackling defense, a defense that can commit turnovers, and an offensive line that can push people around and get. Hopefully we get a heavyweight battle. I think that would be phenomenal, and I think it'd be fantastic for the conference. It would amp up this rivalry tenfold from what it currently is, which is hard to believe. But I think that would bring so many eyes to the subdivision. It would be astronomical, especially if you have an NDSU-James Madison matchup in the semis. There, the storylines and the fan and just the eyes that would be on the Final Four, if that were to happen, would be tremendous.
Yeah, and obviously would give this thing some bite, you know? I mean, we mentioned like 10-7, that's great head-to-head, but it's kind of the way that NDSU-UND used to be in Division II days. UND would always talk about head-to-head, 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 and NDSU would be like, yeah, we have 8 titles and you have none, which is kind of the situation that it is now. Is North Dakota State has 8 Division I FCS national championships. South Dakota State has 0 appearances in the game. So there isn't a ton of bite outside of that head-to-head matchup, that one Saturday once a year, because you can have the conversation, you know, you have the argument, you have the rivalry, whatever, but in any, like, you know, barroom argument, the Jacks fan says what he says, the Bison fan says 8 rings, and the conversation's over, at least any intelligent conversation's over. So for them to go down and win that game would be absolutely huge for South Dakota State and, frankly, obviously for the rivalry. And, Trev, I'm going to close with this, and that's just to say that North Dakota State has something rare for North Dakota State. The nobody believes in us factor is not something that visits Fargo very often. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe in this team. And I know that sounds harsh, or it sounds like something I wouldn't normally say, but I don't think that green and yellow confetti will fall upon this group on May 16th.
It's been proven to you, though. We saw it in Carbondale.
Yeah.
And the tide kind of turned. You know, they rebounded strong against UND, which at that time was the FCS measuring stick for things. So we thought, okay, they're back. They had their lull. They had their moment, whatever. And things kind of continued. They didn't really improve from that point. And then Saturday happened. So now you kind of know where everybody stands. So, like you said, and I mentioned, you know, maybe about 5 minutes ago or so, a lot has to change for that to happen. You're not going to have a lot of people picking you. No. You're capable. That's why you play the games. You're capable, and that's why you're in the playoffs. Not many people are going to believe that that's actually going to happen.
And so that's the rarity. That's what this team can use. Shit, they can print off what I just said and hang it up in the locker room. They won't. Matt probably doesn't even listen to this. I don't know if anybody does. That's, you know, currently
there. They know we love him, man. It's not, right. You know.
I mean, you know, why have the download numbers? People listen, but I'm not so sure anybody on staff does. But my point is they could go on Facebook for 10 seconds. Ant sucks. Zeb sucks. Everybody sucks. Fire everyone. Fire Tyler, fire whatever. They could go on Facebook for 10 seconds and get bulletin board material. They could listen to this show and hear me say, I don't think they're going to have confetti on them this year. Look, guys, not every NDSU championship team has been undefeated. In fact, more of them have a loss than the three undefeated squads. There's five teams with a loss and three that don't. But I don't know as though, you know, anybody, as much as this group does, has this no one believes in us factor. And yeah, it sucks. Trey should be here. Carson should be here. Raiden should be here. Seth Wilson shouldn't have blown out his knee. Phoenix Sproles should be available. Like, all of that sucks. Jabril Cox shouldn't have gotten to LSU. I mean, like, whatever. It all sucks.
I don't think the locker room's talking about that, though. You know what I mean? Like, we talk about it.
Oh, but no, they don't. I can guarantee they don't. I mean, you know the locker room better than I do, but I know this group of coaches and this group of kids just because I'm still up here. They're not making excuses for themselves. They're probably saying we sucked and we need to get better. And they know that help isn't coming through that door and that it's on this group of 83 kids or whatever it is. But like I mentioned earlier in the show, that doesn't mean that I can't point out the obvious.
Right.
What did we say at the beginning of the season? What did I say? I said that it is not their fault that Trey and Dylan and Jabril and Carson aren't there, but it is their problem.
Yeah.
And that has not changed. It's still their problem. Older, more talented guys that they were supposed to learn from aren't there. And now they just have to do it. Especially that young group of corners. The best corner in the conference just left in the middle of the season. These are unprecedented times. But we'll find out soon. I mean, we are going to find out soon enough. The good news is, I mean, if it doesn't go NDSU's way, this is a unbelievable experience for the young men that are going to lead this program forward. I will say that. And there are significant reinforcements in the fact that Cole Payton's coming, and the fact that Quincy Patterson is going to be eligible, in the fact that Phoenix will come back, and the fact that Zach Mathis will come back, Kobe Johnson will be available. I mean, and there are other avenues. I would guess this will potentially also Tamarick Williams, the SMU running back, will be immediately eligible. I would guess that this season, should it end Saturday or should it end before they want it to end, it might spur on a little bit more aggressive approach in the transfer portal for some experienced help and not just high school help. But we'll find out.
The empire is not dead, contrary to popular belief.
Yeah.
Now, and I don't think anybody actually thinks that either. I think people know and understand the circumstance. The season is what it is. But yeah, I mean, I'm in the camp that these guys are capable. Like if they were to win it, I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be like overly shocked. Like I wouldn't think like, oh my gosh, this team out of nowhere just won this.
Right.
Because of how talented they are. It's just that the capability of it has to pick up really, really freaking fast.
Yeah.
In a very short amount of time. And that's why it's going, okay, guys, you know, we don't know if this is going to happen. We don't know if this is the year or not. And I doubt that it is. I want it to be. But that's where that capability has to come fast. And I was talking to a buddy about it. He was asking stuff about FCS. He didn't really fully understand it. And I said, the interesting factor of it is, I said, even if NDSU does make the championship and they're fortunate enough to get there, the one thing that is different to to piggyback off of that is that they're not going to have the 3 weeks of preparation that NDSU is used to, which has traditionally been a massive advantage for the program. Because anytime NDSU has came off a bye, had more than 1 week to prepare, they have outperformed their winning percentage even more. So even that advantage being taken away would be different, especially for a young group. And I think whoever makes Frisco, I think the advantage is going to sway even more so to an older team because of that reason.
Yeah. No, I get it. And we said we were going to close a while ago, and we're still not completely closed up here, but I'm with you. I mean, the capability's there. I will say this. I watched the game back. It's the defense. As much as...
Oh, 100%.
And they've been great, by the way, in stretches. Like, they have been unbelievable from the standpoint of they have games defensively. Like that, their performance, and I know it was a shutout, so yeah, duh, idiot. But I mean, their performance against Missouri State, a playoff team, by the way, defensively was unbelievable. They were very, very, very good defensively against Northern Iowa. They tackled awesome against Northern Iowa. That team just flat out disappeared against South Dakota State. And this offense isn't good enough to overcome defense playing that poorly. This has got to be like a 2011 championship where you guys on offense were not caught up to that D quite yet. And you won games 17-14.
2012, we did too.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to be nice, but I mean, what I'm saying is, look, this team is not going to win a game 38-35. It just ain't happening. It's just not happening. This team can't get in a shootout and expect to win a national championship. We're approaching the 50-minute mark, though, buddy. So I'm just going to have Bison Nation let him know. Have a great week. I know that it has not been the best. But we look forward to breaking down Eastern Washington for you later on. Go Bison.